Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous, AA meeting on air. My name is Steve and I'm an alcoholic. We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God,
grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve the common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any set, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. It does not wish to engage in any controversy and neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Well, welcome to our meeting this morning. We'll have members of the fellowship in who will be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. So to start sharing off this morning, Brent, do you want to share?
Thank you, Steve. My name's Brent and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Brent.
Hey, Brent.
Good to be at this meeting with Matt, Randy and Steve. I've been in the rooms for a little bit now. Last month I celebrated 3 years of sobriety and I've got to 3 years without thinking of it. It's just been a day-by-day program for me. I really don't think too far ahead. My life today is very simple. I just try and get through my day and I try and live by quite a high level of self-care and putting one foot in front of the other in a positive way. Prior to my coming into the rooms in 2015, I came off the back of a really, really low 3 years of depression, self-harm and addiction. I lost a job in 2012 through a breakdown. And I subsequently lost a second job in that same year and then was unemployed for 4 months. That sort of was the start of a three-year low for me, which took me to sort of some pretty dark depths of soul-searching. And I really, at the end of that, had two avenues. One was either death, or the other was, to change my life. And nobody could change my life apart from me. I have my whole adult life been a people-pleasing person, and that was circumstantial to my childhood. You know, we only know what we know. And I was a product of my upbringing. But from a very early age, I learnt to control my environment due to a non-nurturing household. So I would basically, to survive, I would prepare my way forward by almost walking ahead of myself. So I'd adjust myself to suit. That sort of developed a psyche of people pleasing from a very young age, where I would fulfill an obligation. I would be what somebody wanted me to be, and then I'd run back into almost a fantasy land of self comfort in my head, and I sort of developed a two life strategy. I wasn't two people, but I definitely lived a double life, and as I went into adulthood, I really did what people want me to do, to the point where I really lost myself. I had no sense of my true self. Any true self was actually experienced in addiction. I would self-comfort and avoid and escape and isolate. But, after you do that for a bit of time, I think true self manifests in a few different ways. It actually came out in unusual forms. I had four breakdowns over 20 years. And I think during those breakdowns, it's actually very humiliating, but you do show your true self the sad thing is that society doesn't accept a breakdown too well, or mental health issues. And, you know, I was very hurt in my experiencing and expressing my problems. But, you know, I got pretty low, and I learnt that, you know, prior to when I was people-pleasing, I was totally holding my happiness and myself in other people or other things. We talk about in AA people, places and things, and I held my happiness in people, places and things. When I got so low to the point where, you know, I couldn't get back up, that was the turning point for my realizing that nobody, no woman, no object, no job, no thing, no drink could make me happy. The only person that could actually make me happy was myself. And I had to, it wasn't about what I said or prayed for or wished for, it's actually about what I did. I had to actually have a life of action. You know, I made a bit of a mess of things in my breakdowns and loss of jobs, and I'd affected various people. I was trying to do step nines and apologise, and really I was, you know, on page 83 of the big book, they talk about, you know, we will not regret our past, and there's words to the effect of, we move forward standing on our own two feet, we're not servile or scraping, because we are children of God. It sort of brings back, that terminology brings back dignity, where we've had a life of, you know, we've lost dignity. I feel that in active addiction, I really was quite a fool. My emotions were run rampant. You know, they were like on elastic bands. You know, it was very embarrassing for me to, and in my journey of stopping drinking, I felt that my emotions have been pulled back into balance. And now I do stand on my own two feet and I hold my happiness within me. I don't rely on somebody else or something else to fulfill that happiness. My sponsor often tells me that alcohol or the experience of alcohol is the closest thing to a spiritual experience that isn't one. And, you know, I did try and hold my euphoric feelings of goodness in alcohol and in other forms of addiction, and now my attempts to actually reach that same euphoric feeling are through connecting with my higher power. So I've had to, through learning the hard way, through being very unwell, you know, having embarrassing situations happen, I've dropped my ego. I've learned that I've had to accept that I'm everything that I'm not, not everything that I thought I was. I've had to accept that, you know, I've had some embarrassing situations, and, you know, before my pride would get me back up and I'd carry on doing the same old things, thinking, you know, I'm not that guy. But I actually have to accept that I am that guy. I've actually have to accept that I am that guy that lost those two jobs, that I've been inappropriate, you know, that I've said things that I wish I hadn't. And by accepting that I'm all those things that I'm not, I've been able to learn to sit within my own skin a little bit easier. You know, it's not easy. You know, not drinking is very hard. We have to sit with our feelings. And sitting with feelings is, you know, something that I've struggled with. But in time and being able to sit through things and being in the present and identifying with other members of AA and their suffering, you know, I've felt I've really appreciated other people's sharing because I've identified with their story, and, you know, it's made me feel a little bit better that I'm not the only one out there. You know, I suffer from a disease that is there in the waiting. You know, if I don't do the opposite to how I was living prior to stopping drinking, I will go back very, very quickly. In addiction, I was isolating, avoiding and escaping. The opposite of that to me today is instead of isolating, I try and connect. As hard as that is, you know, the way I connect, and I don't find connection with people that easy. But by going to a meeting, I'm doing the opposite. You know, I try and talk to my sponsor regularly, every day. It's my fourth meeting this week, and I'm 3 years in sobriety. I find that I have to continually connect and be with others in this program, and by doing that, it deflates my ego. It puts my self-will to the back of my mind and lets me think about others and gets outside of my own head. Yeah, so that's my journey to date. I really value this fellowship, and you know, it's changed my life, and I hope others out there that are listening can find the program. Thank you.
Thanks, Brent. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of the fellowship in this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about the journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to continue on with the sharing, Matt, do you want to share?
Yeah, thanks, Steve. My name's Matt and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Matt. Hey, Matt.
Thanks, Brent. I really appreciated your sharing. One of the things that resonated with me was the being under the influence of alcohol, being, you know, close to a spiritual experience that wasn't real. And that's what used to happen to me quite a lot. I'm still relatively new to the program. I'm 101 days today, and yeah, it's really nerve-wracking, to be honest, to be trying something new, but also really exciting to be doing something new in my journey of recovery. What I like to share is kind of some thoughts and feelings that I've had over the last couple of days in regards to alcohol and mental illness and all that sort of stuff. I've kind of been thinking that my journey in terms of the addiction to alcohol is slowly coming to an end. But what is starting is a journey dealing with all of the issues that I had well before drinking, to do with sort of anxiety and depression and fear. And what I did was I realized the triggers that caused me to feel those feelings. And one of those triggers that caused those feelings to come along had to do with relationships, in particular a relationship with a partner. And there were a multitude of other things, but that was a big one for me. And so what I did is I avoided having to deal with those issues and having to deal and cope with those feelings. So I just completely shut them out of my life. And when I started drinking, it was around social drinking, which rapidly turned to de-stressing, or de-stress drinking, if you like. I started a new job that was quite stressful, and I'll come back to that relationship thing in a second, but just with my train of thought, the way it's going, the progression really started to kick in this new job that I was taking, and what started off being 1 to 2 glasses a night of wine ended up being 1 to 2 bottles as the progression and the addiction kind of kicked in. And at the beginning of that time, I knew that my drinking was getting out of control and that it was bad, but I was still able to function and still able to work and pay bills and do all the things that I needed to do. So I didn't think that it was too much of an issue. But it helped me to continue to, to push those triggers further and further down, to push down all of the things that would cause me to feel anxious, cause me to feel depressed or fearful. And then further down my track in my drinking career, if you like, I ended up meeting someone, and at that point I was drinking quite regularly, and I was really attracted to this person. She was married and had a child, And I knew that as a single guy that I shouldn't go there. But the alcohol kind of allowed me, for lack of a better word, to continue to pursue that. And the more that I drank, the more I, you know, allowed this relationship to grow. And this is where it really turned in terms of my drinking. The drinking wasn't so much to relax or to de-stress after a day of work. What it turned into was now dealing with all the guilt and the shame from really bad decisions that I was making, doing things that I was brought up to not do, like values that my parents had instilled in my life, values that the community around me had instilled in my life. I was now going completely against them, and alcohol allowed me to not only continue that, but it took away the guilt and the shame that I got the next morning. And what alcohol did, it is the progression just kept getting worse and worse and worse, and it got to a point where I couldn't stop. And every morning I'd wake up and I'd go, I can't keep doing this. And I promised myself, I'm not gonna drink. But I have, let's get a day. Let's get at least 24 hours. And then tomorrow you can drink. But 4 o'clock every day would be like waiting for an hour till it was 5 o'clock to drink again. And then, you know, the circle starts all over again. It got to a point where I couldn't stop. And there was nothing I could do that could help me to stop. And I remember praying, drunk, completely wasted, praying, I can't stop. And I kind of had this, you know, voice in my head that said, you know, it's okay, I'll help you, or you'll be able to. And what that ended up being was a month and a half in hospital with a ruptured appendix. That kind of got me thinking, well, okay, this is that moment. This is that moment that I'm going to stop. So I had that time in hospital. I got out, and I thought, okay, I've stopped drinking. I've had my spiritual awakening or my spiritual moment, and this is it. I'm gonna normalize my drinking. I'm gonna start again. I've got this new opportunity. So I thought I'd give it a go, and occasionally going out and having a couple of drinks with mates after work, and every now and then that was okay, and I was able to leave it at that. But it didn't take long until I'd do that, and then on the way home, stop off, get a bottle of wine on the way home, and I could see the same pattern going over and over and over again. And I was seeing a psychologist at the time, and she said to me, I think it's important for you to go to an AA meeting for that spiritual connection. And so I had been to one AA meeting prior to going into hospital, and I had a number there that one of the guys had given me, so I text and went along that night to a meeting, and I guess that's the start of my recovery. And they told me to keep going back, so I just kept coming back. I got myself a sponsor and am in the process of getting a home group. And as I've journeyed these last 100 days, and going back to what I originally said in terms of the alcohol addiction and that desire to drink is starting to fade, but what I am having to deal with is all of the other stuff, and I get that strength to be able to deal with that by doing what is suggested in the meetings, talking to my sponsor, talking to my higher power. It's funny, I grew up quite a religious person, with a spiritual awareness. And I mentioned this at a meeting the other day. I've grown spiritually in the last 100 days, more than I ever did in my life growing up with a spiritual background. And that is completely and wholly where my strength has come from. Like I started, it's good to be here. It's good to be experiencing something new. And I'll keep coming back and doing what I'm told to do. Thanks.
Thanks, Matt. Thanks. You're listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship on this morning sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And to continue on with the sharing, Randy, do you want to share?
Thank you, Steve. My name is Randy, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Randy.
I'm glad to be here. As part of my recovery program is to share my experience, strength, and hope with other alcoholics that want this program, that want to become sober and have a better life. And I enjoy doing this. I've been sober for a considerable time, a little over 27 years, and I have to say this morning that my journey has been exciting, frightening sometimes, but totally fulfilling, and by far the best thing I've ever done in my entire life is to get sober through the programs of Alcoholics Anonymous. It has not been just about getting sober, but that was why I came in. But the journey now has opened up to giving me some gifts that I could not have imagined. Serenity, I didn't know what the meaning of that word was. Joy in being in the fellowship of being with other people, an appreciation for every single day of my life. So today I'm sober, and I'm grateful that I'm sober, and I'm extremely grateful that I was able to find this program. I started like so many other, alcoholics that I've heard. I took my first drink when I was 13, and it filled a hole in me that I didn't even know was there. But I had always felt as a child that, and even as a young teenager, that there was something wrong with me. I had a sense that there was something wrong, and that certainly that there was something missing. And when I took that first few cans of beer, I think it was, I know it was, it filled a hole in me and made me feel a complete person for the first time in my life. I felt, I used to joke later with my wife, that I was born with a natural alcohol deficiency. I used to tell her that I had to have 2 glasses of wine in order to feel like she felt like when she woke up in the morning. And I thought it was quite a funny joke, but I was telling my truth. I did feel like alcohol fulfilled me and made me who I was meant to be. That turned out to be a false promise, as I found out much later. But I chased that alcoholic fulfillment for a long time, and for a long time it worked. I won't deny it worked, and it was fun. All through my 20s, alcohol, we had a lot of good time with it. Alcohol was my best friend. And I took it into my marriage, my wife was aware of how much I drank. Her friends told her that I was an alcoholic and she should stay away, but she didn't listen. But my drinking, as it progressed, became less fun and more problems. Later, I kind of looked back as to why I drank. I thought, I drank because of my father and my family upbringing and my friends and all that. I know today that the reason I drank is because I'm an alcoholic. That's the only reason I have to have. But the alcohol served a lot of purposes. It helped me escape. It helped me avoid feelings. And it as I said, it made me feel like a complete person. That worked less and less. And by my late 30s, I knew that I had a serious problem with alcohol. But I had other problems too. And I was pretty sure that I was drinking more and more every year because of the increasing stress. I was looking for reasons for it. And I continued to look for those. But I tried in my early 40s, recognizing that alcohol was a problem, I decided to quit drinking. And I knew nothing about the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I knew nothing about addiction. And I made it my goal to quit drinking by myself. I had come to a miserable point, and I felt like I had to get alcohol out of the way to work on, you know, the terrible feelings that were arising in me, and I needed to get alcohol out of the way. But to my surprise, I wasn't able to quit drinking on my own. I tried for 2 years, and I might have made it maybe a week, maybe 3 weeks. I always came back to alcohol, and I couldn't understand it. I drank for insane reasons, and I would catch myself drinking and go, "Wait a minute, I thought you quit." And it was so frustrating and so humiliating to not be able to control something with my willpower, because I'd been a very disciplined person up to that point. And so it was a very, very difficult situation I found myself in. I couldn't really live with alcohol, and I couldn't live without it. There didn't seem to be any middle ground. I was the smartest person in the room, and by determining that alcohol was the problem, I was convinced that if I took alcohol away, that the problem would be solved. But in fact, it didn't. By taking alcohol away, I didn't get better, I got worse. And those were the most two miserable years of my entire life. Somehow, I found my way into AA, and I'll admit this, first, the months leading up to that time and the months after it actually are kind of a haze, but I do know I went to an Alcoholics Anonymous meeting, and I heard exactly what I needed to hear. I heard an alcoholic who told me how he drank, which is how I drank, how he felt, which is how I felt, and he told me how he had quit drinking through the programs of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that today, 10 years sober at that point, he was happy. And that was, he had something that I didn't have, and that was he was happy, he was serene, he was grateful, and he was enjoying life, as was every other single person in the room. So walking into that room and listening to these people and meeting these people, I had an instant attraction, and I had an instant understanding of who I was for the first time in my life. I had known that I had what I call a special relationship with alcohol, where I hid my drinking. I drank far more than anybody knew. I just didn't know the name for that, and the name for that is alcoholism. And I know that today. That's exactly what it was. And it was a huge revelation to me that I was an alcoholic. But there was a relief in a way, because I could see the answer in front of me as well. So I was so desperate by that point for any sort of a solution that I was very willing to do exactly what I was told. That was pretty much the only thing I brought into this program, was a willingness to try it. And I've carried that to this day. So I take suggestions from my sponsors and other people in my life. I take suggestions, and I try to live this program the way it's written in the book Alcoholics Anonymous. It's a program of fellowship with other other alcoholics. It's a program of my own personal recovery, and it's a program of service to others. And that has given me a life, it's probably a trite phrase, but it is absolutely true, a life beyond my wildest dreams. Today I'm actually grateful that I'm an alcoholic, because I found a way of living that I don't believe normal people ever find. I've got a program of living that gives my life some purpose. There's a sense of growth, there's a sense of optimism. And I will be eternally grateful for this program and the recovery and the life that I've been given. Thank you.
Thanks, Randy. This brings us towards the end of our meeting. You've been listening to Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. If you've listened and identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. Or you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meetings lists is a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the whole country. So we'll be back here again next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA Meeting on Air. And we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Just missed it? Your favorite show is available on demand 5 minutes after it's finished. Planet Audio.